I've actually visited, and it was really cool to see. But please, if you're adults as well, get in the fun. There's some baskets over there. There's an opportunity to go through the clues. We'd like to have your pictures in by Sunday, but that doesn't mean you have to stop then. You can do that whenever you want. Some of the other churches will be doing it at different times. So you may see people from Sharon or Fry's Valley or Dover coming to our church and looking around the building for some clues. On Monday, July 20th, there will be a joint board meeting, and there'll be an elders meeting to follow that immediately after. And then the last announcement I have is a good announcement. I'm actually going to ask Miss Paige Martin to help me with this. I'm going to hand this to you. You can hold on to it. I want you to take a few of those off for me if you can. Like you're opening up on Christmas Day, Paige. Ferociously. And then take a couple more. Why don't you take a couple more? Why don't you take them all off since you're already doing it? There we go. Good job, Paige. We have finished our roof fund off, so let's give a big round of applause. So we can finally see that. I don't know if anybody wants a beautiful toy replica of the church that we can have, but I want to thank everybody for the contributions. A lot of people made that happen. We're still grateful that people continue to remain generous throughout this pandemic. And we know this, there's been a lot of hardships for a lot of people, but our church time and time again shows that generosity is one of our fruits of the Spirit. And I'm just grateful for that. You may remain seated. I'll share our watchword of the week, which comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Amen. You may stand and give the right wave of fellowship. There you go. Good morning. You may be seated. Listen now to our prelude from Angie. Or I'm sorry, from John Caster. Pay special attention to this one. One sec, we're just fixing the sound right now.
Before we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love, hearts. Of the joy of living, oh. Loving Father, Christ our brother, let your light upon us shine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. God's own love is reigning o'er us, joining people hand in hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful in the triumph song of life.
Thank you, John, for that beautiful song, and Brandon for your liturgical running there, keeping us very occupied. Wonderful. It is great to hear that song of praise, joyful, joyful, we adore you. And remember, if you have any interest in singing or performing any musical performances for us, it is greatly appreciated. I'm touched by the diversity of gifts that our congregation has. What we're going to do now is we're going to turn to our responsive liturgy and a chance for you to use your whiteboards. So if you have those, use those, keep those handy. What we're going to do is we're going to do things a little bit more relaxed, so it's not going to be a series of questions. What we're going to do is we're going to spend some meditative silence together. We're going to take 2 or 3 minutes and just feel the presence of God in this worship space. And when we get done with that, what I want you to do, when you're in this silent time, you're not just sitting there thinking nothing. I want you to go to the place in your life where you feel most connected to God, the place where you feel closest to God, where the Spirit is with you. Some people that might be camp, some people that might be a vacation spot, some people it might be the farm. But I want you to go to that spot, and we're going to take 2 or 3 minutes, and I just want you to spend it with God in that spot, and then when we're done with that, I'm just going to ask you to write where that spot was for you today. It could be a different location, or it could be someplace you expected to go. But right now, let's take a few minutes in silence and just spend it with God. Amen. So what I want you to do right now is take 30 seconds to write on your whiteboard. If you feel comfortable enough to share where that place was for you, you can pass it along. If you got family or one person can write, whatever works best. Take 10 more seconds. All right, let's see what your whiteboard say. The lake, the ocean, I was thinking along the same lines. It said toes in the water, beach, God's majesty, what is that? I mean, lake shore, church, front porch, the green orchard, I like it, bacon, Tar Hollow, gazebo, outside, church, living room, reading chair, I like that spot, everybody's got it. Woods, outdoors, outside, mowing yard. Jim, I can't see yours. Hold on. Cool, that's great. So all of you, Denny, Paul, here, anywhere with family, I like it. So what I want you to remember as you look at this place that you offer to God, this place you feel most comfortable, this place you feel closest with God. Guess what? You don't need an invitation to go there. You don't even need to be physically present to be there. Field, that's a good place to be. I like it. Soccer field, baseball field, basketball field, just a field in general. It could be anywhere. But you don't need an invitation. You can go there with prayer. You can be present with that place. And I encourage you, especially when you have at the end of a very long day or a hard day, just do what we did now. Take those 2 or 3 minutes in silence. And invite yourself into that place with God. And you got to refill your cup sometimes. And that's what spiritual companioning, spiritual discipleship is about. It's about refilling that cup. And you may physically need to go to that place too, and that's okay too. But as we continue on these journeys, I want you to continue to enjoy the creative worship practices that we continue to participate in. Thank you very much for participating in that one. We're going to turn our minds and our attention now to our time of prayer, and we're going to uplift some prayers. What we're going to do for our prayer concerns is we're trying to become a little creative in a way that we can share prayer concerns without broadcasting them over the internet. So what we're going to ask you to do, if you have a prayer concern that hasn't been shared on our prayer chain this week, what you can do is you can actually write them down on your whiteboard. And I'll come to a moment where you can stand up and share your prayer concern with everybody else. And you're welcome to do that. That way we're not broadcasting everything online. And I actually have our prayer chain concerns written out. I'll share them. I'll post them high. I apologize. You may not be able to read all of them in the back row. We're still working on making sure we got a large enough font. But please don't panic. They're all in our prayer chain that come out every week. But we just want to make sure that all your prayers are uplifted and you know that there's a lot of people praying for them. First and foremost, though, we continue to pray for a cure for COVID-19, for our kids and our teachers, especially getting ready for back-to-school plans and parents and what that looks like and grandparents and all the challenges that come with that. Continue to pray for our people in the medical field, our doctors, our nurses, our first responders, our emergency care workers, as well. And then a prayer of joy that I can share with you is that yesterday Ben Wallace got married to Crystal Nappy out east. They had a beautiful ceremony yesterday. I'm very excited for them. We'll obviously ask for travel mercies for all those heading back from the wedding, but it's nice to know that there are some wonderful joys to celebrate in our world in the midst of this pandemic. So what I'm going to do now is give you a chance, those of you in our sanctuary, I apologize for those of you that are online, to read some of the prayer concerns that we have. And again, I apologize if it's not big enough. And if you have any at this time, you could start writing them. And when I'm through this list, I'll give you an opportunity to stand up. Give you a chance to read. at this time, if you have any prayer concerns that you'd like to share, you can stand and hold up your board. Okay. Absolutely. We have lift that in prayer. Wonderful. We'll uplift that in prayer. That's awesome. Jim's got one back there as well. You're good. Absolutely. We'll keep praying for Howie. Absolutely. Everybody who's working in the hot weather, I think that's a fair prayer concern. Does anybody else have any other prayers? All right, let's take some time in silence and invite God into this prayer. God, we come before you today and bask in your gratitude. For we are the gift of your creation. Every single day we get to live, we get to breathe as a gift. So help us to appreciate the gift we have been given. Help us to enjoy it. Help us not to take our next breath for granted, but to treat it as a gift from God. Gracious God, we come before you and we uplift a lot of prayer concerns this week. Help us to realize this is not a sign of a God sitting on the sidelines, but the sign of a God who is active, who is working through all people and all circumstances in all places. And we especially uplift the sick, the hungry, those battling COVID, those who have been placed on hospice care, those who have been recently injured, those who are struggling physically, mentally, and spiritually. Help them to know that you, God, are with them, and we as your people will stand by you. And gracious God, as we remember how you plant the seeds, help us to remember to be the good and fruitful soil that you call us to be. Because all of us can grow. All of us have so far to come in our wonderful and spiritual relationship with you. So may we feel your presence in all times, in all places. Blessed be your name. In your name we pray. Amen. We now turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. Remember, once again, we're not physically passing out offering plates, but we are taking the time to give thanks to God for our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. And if you need an opportunity before you leave, the offering plate is in the back. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we need to feel your presence in our lives and in our world. Help us to pay attention to the signs that remind us you are an active God. Help us to give and not think about the return on our investment, but on the return in compassion. Amen.
Amen.
Our first scripture is Isaiah 55, 9-13. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it spring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Matthew 13, 1-9 and 18-23. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, that anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown in the past. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our children's chat. I'll ask the kids to take out their whiteboards. Make sure you have a whiteboard handy. Those of you who have multiple kids, you should have a couple whiteboards and markers there. That way you don't have to share too much. So we're going to talk about our gospel lesson today, kids, was about plants and trees and how the seed grows in the ground. My question is, raise your hand if any of you have learned about photosynthesis and all that fun stuff yet in school. Paige has? Okay. All right. Don't worry if you haven't. What I want you to do now is there are five things that help make a seed or a plant grow. What I want you to do is take a minute or two to write what you think they are, or you can actually draw them. If you don't know all five, don't worry about it. Just start with the one you do know. But draw what five things you think a plant needs to grow. It could be a picture, or you could use the words. So I'll give you a hint. The first one is sunshine. Plant needs sunshine. What else does a plant need? Oh, Brandon's got his full list. That's okay. Take another 30 seconds. If you don't got all five, that's okay. I didn't get all five. Explains why I'm not a good gardener, I guess. All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, let me see your boards. All right. Ooh, Jacob's already got a picture. There we go. All that Akron College is paying off right there. Water, sunshine, soil. Ooh, sun, water, dirt. Water, soil, sun, plant food, and love. There you go. There's a good one. Water, sunlight, soil, seed, fertilizer. Ooh, fertilizer. Soil, sun, water, seed, fertilizer. I think all of you got a part of at least all of them, and I think together you got all five. Because all five, it is light. A plant needs light. A plant needs air. A plant needs water. A plant needs nutrients, which is a fancy way for soil and the stuff that grows around it. And the last one, I'm not sure if anyone had this one. It's space. A plant needs space to grow in, because you can't grow if you're in a tiny, confined little area. And so what I want you to think about that is those five things. Think about being a disciple of Jesus and how those five things worked for us, because we need sunlight. We need the sun to light down on our hearts. When it comes to air, we need the Holy Spirit to breathe on us, to protect us, to care for us, to watch over us. And when it comes to water, water's an easy one. We get marked by baptism that we are children of God. We're not saved because we're baptized, but we're marked as children of God for the rest of our lives. And the nutrients, where we get to find the good stuff about God, well, that's our Bible. That's where we get to learn all those wonderful things. We get to take care of it. And stuff like soil and nutrients doesn't seem that important. But when you ignore it, you can destroy the whole plant. So that's why we have to stay nutritious. And space. You got to know that you can worship God in any place, any time, any space. And we're doing that right now. And I hope all of you get those reminders. So let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you uplift our children and remind them to continue to nourish their spirituality. Help them to seek the light of their life. Help them to realize they can worship you at any time, any place. Help them to know that you are the air we breathe, you are in the water we drink, and you are in the light we feel. That God is truly everywhere, caring for us, watching over us, and loving us. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, I think we have a really great passage in front of us. Because we as a congregation, we're a little bit in what I would call sanctuary exile right now. And in this passage, we get a glimpse of Jesus and where he's willing to preach. And the cool thing about Jesus is he constantly changed venues throughout his ministries. Think about it. Think about all the scripture passages where Jesus is sharing a parable or a message. In this context, he is preaching from a boat. But he also preached in front of large crowds, sometimes 5 to 10,000, depending on what gospel you're reading. He also preached on mountaintops, if you turn to Matthew 5. He also preached on plains, if you turn for the same passage in Luke. He also preached walking from village to village while performing miracles, before miracles, after miracles. And even once in a while, he would preach in a traditional synagogue from time to time. So I hope you see where I'm coming from. Jesus saw any place as an opportunity to share God's word. And it was scholar Matthew Henry who said, "By this he teaches us in the external circumstance of worship not to covet that which is stately, but to make the best of the conveniences which God in his providence allots to us." In other words, it's the grandmother message that we all get. Make the best out of your circumstances. Just make the best out of what's been given to you. Because it's not the beauty of the sanctuary or the eloquence of the teacher or the preacher or the rabbi that makes the church sacred, but it is the internal belief of those who gather that make it sacred. And that is why in our world there are multi-million dollar mega churches that would make God bow his head in shame. And there are also churches in the developing world that meet in secret in dreary basements, just like the original Moravians used to do, meet in secret because they were afraid the government or another group would attack them. And God is so proud of them. Because when we think about it, God cares very little about aesthetics. It is what is on the inside, what is in your heart, that matters most to God. That is where God looks. And so we have to ask ourselves that question today. What are we doing to make the best of the circumstances that we have been given today? What are we doing? And I think of people who have shown us good examples of that. Have any of you been watching the Good News Network on YouTube at all with John Krasinski? Have you seen any episodes of that? If you haven't, I encourage you to do so because it's very well done. John Krasinski actually plays Jim on The Office, and he's in other movies. But this was a network that he started on YouTube when he saw the pandemic starting, and he wanted to make sure people had a good source of good news every week. So he started the Good News Network in his basement with just a camera, and millions of people tune in because we are a world that is hungry for good news. So if you're sick of the negativity on network news or social media, I encourage you to take a spiritual 10 or 15 minutes and watch a few of those videos. Because you hear good stories that are happening in our world, like the story of Clayton Ward, who is a school bus driver in Framingham, Massachusetts. And Clayton just took this job as a school bus driver because, like any of us, he had to pay his bills. But on his bus route, week in and week out, he was encouraged by kids on his bus to go back to school to get his teaching degree because they enjoyed talking to Clayton, they enjoyed the experience of it, and they wanted him to be one of their teachers someday. So Clayton used his free time during the pandemic to get his associate's degree, and he'll be starting his bachelor's degree as a history teacher in the fall as well. Clayton is making the best of his circumstances. And then I know many of us are struggling not being able to perform and sing music like we want. And I know I'm personally struggling with that. But there are musicians out there who are not letting their circumstances get them down. And I hope some of you have heard the story of Jason Zagon and his trumpet. Jason, for more than 50 days, he has played his trumpet outside a hospital in Georgia to uplift the morale of the staff there, the patients who go in and out there. And every day it is his mission and his purpose to put a smile on somebody's face with a little bit of music. Jason is making the best of his circumstances. Now, when we hear stories like that, the flip side, it's easy to start feeling bad about ourselves. It's easy to think, wow, I'm not really taking advantage of this quarantine stuff like I should have. Because if you're like me, you haven't learned a second language, you haven't written a book, you haven't renovated the house. Tim Northup's probably happy about that I haven't tried to renovate my house. You haven't built your kids a roller coaster in the backyard that is really sweet and elaborate. You haven't done any compassionate act that's gone viral to millions of people. None of us have done those things, and guess what? That's okay. Start simple. Did you try something new? Did you spend time, some of the free time that you had, did you spend it with your kids? Maybe your kids will have a story that they will always remember because you took 5 or 10 extra minutes to do something special. Or perhaps maybe it was something even simpler than that. Maybe you, just for a day or two, you learned to slow down a bit. Take a deep breath. When's the last time you took 3 minutes in silence just to yourself like you did in worship today? Some of you may not even remember the last time you did that, but it could be something small like that. Because God is not calling us to be big-time prophets, but God is simply calling us to plant positivity in our world. Be a positive person. Because we need not worry about the size of the seed, because God will provide all the necessary sunlight we need. God will provide. And notice, in this scene that has been played out in front of us in Matthew, there are no scribes, there are no Pharisees, there are no rulers of the world present at this message on the boat. Because those people were willing to eavesdrop on Jesus in the synagogue and marketplaces, but his sermons on the boat were beneath them. They're the people that would look at us worshiping in our fellowship hall without any big fancy crosses or big wardrobes by your pastor, and they'd be the ones pointing their fingers at us. Those people are in every society. And they were the ones that thought this sermon that Jesus was about to preach was beneath them. They didn't want to be caught on the wrong side of town at the wrong time. But for Jesus himself, I have to wonder if he didn't feel a sense of relief. Because in that moment, the son of a carpenter was among his own people, in his own place, just having a conversation with people who genuinely wanted to listen and discuss how God was working in their lives. And we have to remember that the crowd that Jesus was preaching to, these were the people that were prejudged. These were the people that were told their whole life they were rocky soil from the day they were born. Because the people in power at that time knew better than to waste their limited resources on soil that would never produce in their eyes. For them, it wasn't being cruel. It was market investment for them. There's only so much you can do. And we still see people in our world, people in positions of power act like that today. They disguise their systemic racism, sexism, or any other ism under the cape of fancy economic policies, or conceal it as a limited amount of compassion that they have to give. And the truth is, I don't think any of us have a problem helping family members or friends who have been temporarily knocked down and need a hand up. I think any of us, if we were in that circumstance, I think we would find a way to help. We would find a way to give. But where we struggle the most are to help those people we personally deem as difficult soil or difficult seeds. We all know somebody like that. Those who are in constantly bad situations, sometimes not their fault of their own, sometimes it is their fault. But they almost always struggle without the comfort of some kind of help. The ones who can tread water, but we can never fully protect from danger. And I want you to think about those people. And what I want you to do right now is I want you to get your whiteboards ready because I'm about to ask you a question. And we're going to do a little simple visualization exercise. So I want you to picture you are right outside your home right now. Take a second. I'll give everybody a second to grab their boards. But you are right outside your home. And you're going for a walk on a beautiful, gorgeous, and sunny day like today. And there's not a cloud in the sky. It is a beautiful day. But on this walk, as you're going on this wonderful journey, you see a person across the road coming towards you. And it is a gentleman, and he's walking, and he's got a stained T-shirt. And you can see that he's either had a rough couple days or a rough couple weeks. And he's got unkempt hair, his eyes are restless. And unfortunately to you, this gentleman, when you're walking on this beautiful, peaceful, serenic walk, he looks at you, he makes eye contact with you, and he waves you down. And what he does is he looks with sadness in his eyes. Many of you know the drill. He comes to you and he asks you for $5 to help him get through this day. $5 to help him get a meal, to go to McDonald's or for whatever. What I want you to do right now is before we play out the rest of this scenario, I want you to be honest with yourself and I want you to write what makes you most hesitant to help somebody in those circumstances. All you know is this person has come up to you on the street. They look a little ragged. They look a little tough. What makes you most hesitant to be compassionate in that moment? Take 30 more seconds. Well, I guess I can keep my own marker. All right. Let me see some of your boards. It's okay if you're still working. Is the person truly in need of money and help? I think some of us have been burned by people who pretended to be in help. Don't know if this person is dangerous. Absolutely. Use money for drugs or something instead of food. Don't know them. Have never seen them. Is the situation real? Absolutely. Are they truthful? Don't know what they're using the money for. John, dishonest. Money is, I have no money with me. There's a good excuse, Ryan. Scared. Jim's got, let me see. Oh. Talking to a new person is scary. Yeah, they're not texting you. What will they do with the money? Enabling, trusting their story. Those are all legitimate concerns. And you're not a bad person for having those concerns. I think we all legitimately have them. And mine... My board says return on investment. Will what I give them truly make a difference? And my wife laughs because I'm always the one analyzing and doing things like that. But for me, I'm guilty when I say this, but I'm always worried about, will that $5 truly get that person back on the right path? Or is it just putting money down a hole or a pit or something like that? And I really worry about that. Will what I give them truly make a difference? And guess what? The passage that we have today is written for people like me, people who are worried about the return on investment they're going to make. Because this passage was written specifically for those who love to compartmentalize our generosity. Scholar David Ewart said, the explanation refers to the seed and the soil, not to the sower. But I want you to think about the sower in this scenario. The sower is God. And we hear in this story a story of extravagant generosity. Extravagant to the point that some would even say God was being wasteful. Or perhaps extravagant even to the point of giving seeds to all regardless of their preconditions. God does that in this scenario. And the truth is you and I might not waste our efforts on the downtrodden, the thornies, the bad seed, the bad soil, the hardened soil, the soil we think that will never, ever yield a crop. But in this parable, God does. God does give. God is willing to be compassionate. And the truth of the matter is God still sows the same amount of seeds to those we view as lost causes as those we view as a good investment, a good return on our compassion. And furthermore, I'm sure there have come points in your life, all of us have reached those points in our lives, where somebody has looked at us and treated us as bad soil, where somebody has said, you're no good, you're not the right person. They judge you, they pick on you. But in those moments, those people may have judged you. Those people may have condemned you, but God did not. God stuck with you. God gave you the same amount of soil, the same amount of seed that he gave you when everybody thought you were at your worst. That's the same soil God gave you on the day you thought you were your best. God does not quit on people. God does not quit on us. God just keeps planting seeds in our hearts. And every day, God looks at us and does not just see who we are, but who we can be. This gives God inexhaustible hope, and it should give you inexhaustible hope as well. If God can see the hope in that, so should we. So the question before us, as we deal with this question on our whiteboards, why should we be generous to all people? Not just the ones that look like they're the right circumstance, but all of God's people. And the answer that Jesus gives us in this scenario is God is generous and compassionate to all people. And that means we, as his children, should follow. Because that's the standard that God created for us, and that's the standard we need to follow as disciples of Christ. And it's not about percentages or return on investment. It's about compassion. It's about dedication. It's about being faithful and knowing we're going to be generous because God is generous to us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts and remind us to give compassionately and faithfully. And we realize there are times and circumstances that make us weary, that make us scared, that make us afraid. But help us to know that you, God, are present in those circumstances. You, God, remind us to plow the seed. And that just help us to look for ways we can give. It may not be exactly what that person is asking for us, but we can find a small way to help. Because there are no small acts of kindness. Everything can be planted. Everything can grow and turn into beautiful, long-lasting, compassionate acts. Because we know that. Because it started with a man who sacrificed his life on the cross, and that gift of compassion that was given to us by our dear Savior is everlasting and will never be extinguished. So help us to remember the power and the transformation that comes from compassionate living. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Let us listen to our closing song. Thank you. May you find God's presence in every light and every corner of darkness. May you feel God's presence on your breath with every breath you breathe. When you tread water, may you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit cooling your heart. And when you seek nutrients, remember that there is no better place than in the midst of God's Word. And when you look for a place to worship, know that every step you take is a holy spot because God is there with you. In His blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining us for worship. And this time I'll begin dismissing people. Jim Karcher, you may go ahead. Take your time.